Genesis chapter 32. Begin reading verse number 13 and we'll conclude with verse number 30. Once again, Genesis chapter 32, verses 13 through 30. So he stayed there that night, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau. 200 female goats and 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 20 milking camels and their calves, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. These he handed over to his servants, every drove by itself, and said to his servants, "Pass on ahead of me and put a space between drove and drove." And he instructed the first, "When my brother Esau meets you and asks, 'To whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you?' Then you shall say, 'They belong to your servant Jacob. They are a present sent to my lord Esau. And moreover, he is behind us.'" He likewise instructed the second and the third and all who followed the droves, "You shall say the same thing to Esau when you find him. And you shall say, 'Moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he thought, I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me, and afterward I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me.' So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself stayed that night in the camp. The same night he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, 'Let me go, for the day is broken.' But Jacob said, 'I will not let you go unless you bless me.' And he said to him, 'What is your name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Then he said, 'Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed.' Then Jacob asked him, 'Which shall, or please tell me your name?' And he said, 'Why is it that you ask my name?' And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of that place Peniel, saying, 'For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered.'" The word of the Lord.
Thanks
be to God. Sermon number 10 in this series of sermons. A short contextual introduction reminds us that Jacob has worked and has toiled for 7 long years to marry Rachel, the young girl that he saw for the first time at the well in Padan Aram. He saw her and he was stricken with what he saw. He worked these 7 years, and with the idea that marrying Rachel, that union, would be the beginning of God bringing to pass his promise that he would be the father of a company of nations, the Bible says. In other places it says the father of many nations. Put on your spiritual glasses for a moment and let us think with C.H. McIntosh, who says, "All of his toiling and working, 7 long years, is the result of his ignorance of God's grace." It didn't take me long after I read that to recognize that that's me. I'm Jacob. We see Jacob working for what God promised. I did. I was raised to believe that certain works must be performed in order to even be saved or come to faith in Christ. That it was dependent upon me and not God to save me. But that's not what the Bible teaches, as I grew to understand later. Like Jacob, it was my ignorance of God's grace that I believed through my efforts I would obtain the blessings and the promise of God. And that's exactly where Jacob is. And the result of those 7 years of his own labor, thinking that through his own power and might he could receive the blessings of God, he ended up disappointed, didn't he? He didn't receive what he had worked for. Try to put that in perspective. 7 years. What's happened in 7 years? I've been here about 4 years, and that seems like a short period of time. But then again, sometimes it seems like a long period of time. It's like anything. When you're working, it can be tedious at times. But certainly joyous, but it doesn't mean it's not hard work. Well, that's only about half of the time that Jacob spent working for one thing. He was working that he might be able to have Rachel's hand in marriage. And you know, being a shepherd is not a 9-to-5 job, or an 8-to-4, or 7-to-3. You're kind of on duty all the time. 7 long years of laboring to have Rachel's hand, only to recognize the morning after their honeymoon, first honeymoon night, that he had worked in vain, that it was not Rachel at all. In the morning, verse 25 said of chapter 19, behold, it was Leah. She was all bundled up, wrapped up. You couldn't tell from her outward physical appearance, the clothes she wore. Couldn't tell by maybe even seeing her eyes that it was not Rachel. He had no reason to believe it wouldn't be Rachel, but it wasn't. Immediately, rather than being angry, what this should have done was, it should have caused Jacob to fall on his knees and to praise Yahweh, because God just showed him himself before he stopped through at Bethel. That's where Jacob's life turned around. It was when God met him at Bethel. He should have fallen on his face, saying, Lord, this is where you brought me from. How would Jacob respond to such terrible deceit, such trickery and dishonesty? Well, Jacob has been to Bethel, but Laban, or many of us pronounce Laban, has not. Jacob has wrestled with God at Bethel, but Laban has not. Jacob has experienced change, but Laban has not. Jacob has had his calling affirmed by the God of heaven, but Laban has not. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say that we should expect the unconverted to behave in ungodly, unseemly ways. We should not be surprised when sinners sin. Those who have not had an authentic experience with God, we should not be surprised by their life. Well, they're married. The rice has been thrown. They toasted the bride and groom. Off to their honeymoon tent they go. And in the morning, Jacob realizes it's not the woman that I had chosen, not the one that I had worked for, that I've married and been with this night. Jacob now has, or would soon have, two wives. He agreed to work another 7 years, although he didn't have to wait to have Rachel or take her as his wife, or she was given to him by Laban as his wife. So after 1 week of honeymoon with Leah, he now has Rachel. But he has to work 7 years in order for the marriage to be authentic or legal because of an oral contract. So Jacob now has two wives. First Leah by her father Laban's trickery, and now Rachel by intent. Verse 31 says that when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. I think I mentioned this a little bit last week, that God is the great compensator. For whatever reason, Jacob wasn't attracted to Leah like he was Rachel. As far as we know, he wasn't attracted to her at all. He saw her passing and knew who she was, of course, Rachel's sister. But there was no connection there. Leah felt hated. Spurned by Jacob, whom she was married to only by her because of her father's insistence. But she also felt spurned by her father for putting her in such a predicament. To be married to a man she did not love, she did not want, and he did not love or want her. It was only for Laban's advantage that Leah was married to Jacob. And she said, I feel like I'm hated. But when God saw that, he opened her womb. You know, everyone's not good at everything. You have talents I don't have, and I presume I have a talent or two that you don't possess. God is the great equalizer. God gives you some intuition and knowledge and skill that he doesn't give me, and vice versa. There's no reason for you to be envious of anyone else, for me to be envious of anyone else, because God will give to you and bless you as God chooses to. And what God blesses us with, what gifts God gives us, we should treasure. This is what God wants me to do. Use what God has given me. Well, God sees, God hears, God knows. And then my question is this, Leah. Would you rather be favored by God or favored by a man?
I ask you the same congregation, would you rather have the blessings of the Heavenly Father upon your life or the limited possessions and pleasure that another person can give you? Well, obviously that's a rhetorical question, or at least I hope it is. From where or from whom do you draw your self-esteem, your self-worth? Is it from a person? Or is it from your relationship with God? Are you looking for someone else to make you feel affirmed, worthwhile, valuable? Or are you looking to the Lord, your maker and your keeper, to affirm you, to lift you up, and to build you into the person that God wants you to be? Well, today in our text, we see the beginning of the fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Promises made in chapters 12, 13, 15, 17, 26, 27, 28, and 35. I'll make your name, your family great. You'll be a blessing to all the nations in the world. Here's the beginning of that, or I should say the continuation, because God gave birth to Isaac through Sarah and Abraham, and then gave birth to Jacob from Isaac and Rebekah. This is the beginning of the configuration of the 12 tribes of the family of Israel, who all emanate from Jacob, by the way. It's proof that what God says, even down through the generations, is true. What God has said in His Word will come to pass. Miraculously, curiously, God has brought it to pass. Now, regarding the 12 sons of Jacob, which we'll begin to get into, they come from four different women. His two wives, Leah, Rachel, and then their handmaids or their servants, who also served as concubines. Did you realize that? That the 12 tribes of Israel came from four different women. Two of those women Jacob was never married to. Now, the fact that they came from four different women, it does not negate the promise. Because unlike Abraham, where Yahweh specifically said there'll be a miracle son born to you and to Sarah, God just said that the seed would come through Jacob. He didn't say who the women would be that would bear these children. It was through the offspring of Jacob's seed. Later he would be called Israel. That the promise was made, but not specifically through Leah only or Rachel only. Another thing we see in this, which should serve as an encouragement and also serve as hope, and that is clear. It's a very clear fact that God works through very imperfect people. As we see in this text. You're beating yourself up because you said, I could be a stronger Christian, and I'm sure you could be. I could be a stronger Christian also. I could know the Bible better, and I'm sure you could, and so could I. I could help my neighbors more. Yes, you could, and so could all of us be a greater blessing. But I'd like to tell you, don't beat yourself up too much. God uses imperfect people. Because there are no perfect people. As I mentioned in the story of Jacob and Esau, I preached on particularly that family, and I said, this family's messed up. They're dysfunctional. We have the same thing continued in Jacob's family. It seems like in this case anyway, dysfunction has bred dysfunction. God works through these imperfect people, and honestly, that includes all of us too. We see dishonesty, we see deceit, strife, contention, envy, hatred, yet God works his plan through people guilty of all of these sinful traits. That's a takeaway from our text that we're studying. God works through imperfect, sinful people. If he didn't, whom would God work through? Verse 32, Leah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Reuben. For she said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. What's her affliction? She feels hated. Physically, she's okay. But she feels hated. That's my affliction, Leah would say. If you read this text, she gave us a clue here, what some things are going through her mind. That last clause says, for now my husband will love me. Leah's obviously looking to Jacob for approval and affirmation as a wife and a mother. Well, there's nothing wrong with that inherently. Seeking affirmation from your spouse as a wife and mother. But it's more than that. She knows that Jacob doesn't love her. And for all we know, she doesn't love Jacob either. She's asking for Jacob something she's not giving Jacob. Oh yes, there's physical love, but there's no heart love. It came together to conceive a child, but that doesn't mean it's love. She's living to please Jacob. Although he doesn't love her, she's trying to win his love, as we will read more and more. If she could, she would force Jacob to love her. It hurts her so bad that he loves her sister Rachel, but he does not love me. Leah would seemingly do anything in her power to win this man's affection, but it's not happening. If it's true, it's a shame that Leah doesn't feel loved by her husband. What a terrible position to be put in, I would think. It is also said that she thinks by giving him a child, his heart will change if we listen to her words. So Leah is looking to win over Jacob in this competitive marital situation with her sister. Isn't it amazing that there was such competition between Jacob and Esau, and now that they're both out of the house in Jacob's family, there's the same circumstance. Now there's competition between wives. Leah's looking to win over Jacob. It doesn't feel loved by Jacob, but Rachel does. But Leah is fruitful. She can bear children, but Rachel cannot. Oh, I've got one on her. I've got the advantage. And because I can bear him children, not just children, but sons. Don't you know that in an agricultural society that sons were the most prized? Unfortunately, because of the hard labor, they craved to have sons who could work in the fields. She feels highly blessed. She's looking to win over Jacob in this competitive marriage. Leah believes she has that advantage because she can bear children. Rachel is barren. All Leah does is she's looking up to Jacob, and with the birth of every son, she's hoping to win his affection. The name of Reuben means sea and son. So here is a firstborn son. It means behold a son. She's proud, and she should be, as any mother should be.
She also could be rubbing it in Rachel's face just a little also.
Let me get everybody's attention. Look here. Come by the house and see my son.
Rachel's in the same house and she's barren. After the birth of Reuben, Leah said, because the Lord has looked upon my affliction, for now my husband will love me. Verse 33 says, she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am hated, he has given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. Oh, she's fruitful. Her second son comes from the root, Hebrew root Shema. It means to hear. The first one was look, now hear. Because the Lord has heard that I am hated. If we could, we'd tell Leah, Leah, this is not all about you. There are other people. Well, verse 34 says, again she conceived and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will be attached to me. It's more than just love me. It's more than God sees me because I'm hated. It's now I'm going to be attached to him. It's going to work. Child number 3. I have borne him 3 sons. What more could anyone ask for? Therefore, his name was called Levi. Verse 35 says, she conceived again and bore a son and said, this time, I'm not going to focus on myself. She called his name Yehuda or Judah. Then she ceased bearing. The first 3 sons, it was like a crescendo. She's trying to build up to winning Jacob's love, his affection. He's going to be mine. I'm bearing him sons. How could he not love me? She's jealous of Rachel. Not because Rachel has been fruitful. She's jealous because she is the one that Jacob really loves. You ever try to make something work that just won't work? With the birth of this 4th son, and by the way, the birth of these 3 children, there's no indication that Jacob has budged 1 inch. That he loves her? That there's anything between the 2 of them? Nothing's happening. I've given birth to 3 sons, and his heart has not changed a bit. What am I doing wrong? I would think he'd be jumping up and down happy. Child number 4 came. Sometime between conception and birth, something happened in Leah's heart. You know, you can't always put a finger on when the Lord really touched you, can you? Something happened in her heart, in her mind. She's been focusing on pleasing her husband Jacob with no positive results. Leah has constantly and insistently looked for these children to buy Jacob's affection and win his heart as a husband.
But it hasn't worked out that way. Have you ever had things not work out that way? Sure we have. The way you've planned them, the way you've envisioned it, the way you've even worked to make it happen, it hasn't worked. She's been pregnant now 4 times, carried these children in her womb for 9 long months in this arid, dry climate. Given birth 4 times, which is no easy feat. And with each child born, she's hoping that her fertility will be the thing that wins Jacob's heart. But it hasn't happened. Her plans haven't worked. Have you ever had to scrap any plans? The thoughts that she's had in her mind haven't been God's plans. It hasn't been the plans that God has had in his mind. That's why we've had to scrap those plans. Something's happened. When it's time for her to give birth to her 4th son, she gives him a different kind of a name. She's not focusing on herself. I'm hated. She's not focusing on her husband. My husband will become attached to me. Oh, no. This time with the birth of her 4th son, it appears that her attitude is different. Her perspective is fresh and new. She's no longer first focusing on her circumstances of being 2nd place and not feeling loved. She's clearly not focusing on Jacob any longer. She's over him. When Leah gave birth to her 4, she called his name Yehuda or Judah. But what does that mean? It means praise the Lord. Can you look over your plans that you've scrapped and thrown into the trash basket and say praise the Lord? In other words, she says, I've decided to give my problems to the Lord. I'm done worrying about this. I'm finished trying to figure it out. I can't change Jacob. I need to work on me. I'm going to give it to God and let God work it out. I'm going to let God do it. I'm going to let the one who knows best either fix the circumstances or fix me or fix Jacob or all of it. Whatever way God fixes it, I'm done. Can you say, Lord, fix it? I'll lay my worries aside. I'll set them down. I'll lay my fears at his feet. I'll cast my cares before his throne. I choose to trust God. I choose to believe God has my best interest at heart. By the help of God, I choose to believe God and further believe God will take care of it no matter what it is. Jewish commentary called My Jewish Learning, and Norman Schiff wrote something that I found to be helpful, and I'll read it to you. Says this about Leah: God seeing and granting her sons does not bring her the love she wants. For Leah to simply praise God is the same thing as resignation. Can you resign yourself to the fact that whatever it is that's not working, I resign myself to the will of God. I throw myself at the feet of the Almighty One. I will cast my family at the feet of the one who is our burden bearer. I'll fall at the feet of the waymaker. I'll give my job, my church, my home, my health, my finances, all to the one who's proven to be good and trust God to manage my life. Can you say this? Lord, manage my life. There's plenty of things I want and have wanted for years, but it's not God's will. And I have to be willing to say, like you, hopefully, Lord, manage my life. I think I know best, but I don't. And neither do you. In closing, can I ask you this? Have you come to that resolve? Can you, like Leah, throw yourself at the merciful feet of Jesus? And will you cast your cares upon him? What is it in your life that has brought you to the point of resigning to God's will for yourself? For Leah, it was the birth of a fourth son. Can you say today that you're no longer wanting to please, quote unquote, man or woman, but are solely focused on pleasing God? Instead of looking to others to bring you joy, happiness, or pleasure, can you, like Leah says, I'm going to look to the Lord? One hymn writer says, take my life and let it be. Consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move. He says, take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. And finally he says, take my will. Are you willing to let go? And look to the Lord. Let's pray.